Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where you, the investor, get to listen as Chris Perry grills the best and the brightest in the corporate sector to help you find out who's the wheat and who's the chaff. Listen in.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Hey there, welcome to the Equity Guru podcast. This is our first Shooting the Shit episode.
Yay!
We're going to all get together in the office with the air conditioner blowing over us and traffic outside, and we're going to talk about our company that one of us knows and the others don't, and we're going to see if there's general consensus that said company is worth getting into.
All right.
So with me today is Galen Engen, formerly of Stockhouse, sometimes of the Stanley Park Ghost Train, and Bo Ramon, our new analyst, let's say.
Hello.
Who's just joining us. So we're going to talk about a company called Y Dreams. I've been writing about Y Dreams for about a year and a half, maybe. Y Dreams is an interactive technology company out of Brazil. What they do is they create immersive and augmented and virtual reality systems for clients like Cisco and Adidas and Coca-Cola and Audi and Fiat and Nike and Ambev and Unilever and basically any company that has company in its name. What I like about Y Dreams is, first, nobody knows what the F it is, so that means that I could get a bunch of cheapy stock. Thank you very much. The second thing I like about it is it's so if you're a company and you engage a technology firm to build you, let's say, an interactive World Cup exhibit.
Right.
Generally, what they'll do is they'll bill you a gigantic amount of money for development because you have to build the technology that's going to be rolled out into the exhibition.
Of course.
So Wonders has been at this for about 10 years or so, and they've got a thick catalog of tech that they've already developed and they've employed for a variety of different companies. So when you go to them and you say, hey, I have a hotel skyscraper and I want the side of the building to be interactive so that if you download the app and run your finger over it, your fingerprints show up on the side of the building, like 30 stories high.
Wow.
That they can go, oh, okay, sure, we got that.
So Blade Runner is real now.
Basically, yeah. It's like, how many penises can we draw on the side of a hotel?
Let me count.
I'm sure that the first person that used it was like, boobs, you know. Like we were with the calculators when we were kids.
Of course.
So the deal with Y Dreams is basically they've come up with ways that turn technology into truly interactive stuff. Okay. Like, it's not just like, hey, here's a sign with lots of flashy things on it. It's like they designed a bank headquarters in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the bank were like, look, we have a gigantic campus. It's hard for people to figure out where they're supposed to go. What can we do to fix this? So Y Dreams developed little robots, Star Wars style.
Look at them. They're so cute.
They're adorable. Yes. that when you walk in the foyer of the bank headquarters, approach you and say, so who do you want? And then you say, oh, I want Bob in accounting. And they say, follow me. And then they walk you through the complex to show you where Bob is. And then if you want a bottle of water, it pops out of the machine. And, you know,
it's amazing. It actually looks a little like Wally's girlfriend,
it looks
except
a lot,
with wheels.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of cross between the two, actually.
There might be some copyright issues there.
Yeah.
So really what we're dealing with here, like, one of the things I really like that they have is they've got this virtual reality aquarium that they sell to shopping malls.
Is it the same one that you have on your desktop?
No, it's a little bit more advanced. So
all right.
you take your kids to the mall.
Mm-hmm.
The kids go to the screen and they say, all right, make me a fish. And they decide what color it is and what kind of tail it has and what kind of fins it has. And then they give it a name.
Okay.
And then mom puts her social media accounts or her email address to it.
Okay.
And every week or so, someone gets an email or a tweet saying, hey, your fish is looking a bit poorly. You might want to come back to the mall and feed it before it dies.
Okay.
And so now mom's got to take the kids back to the mall. And the mall guys are like, this is fantastic. There's a lineup at the aquarium every day. It's scathingly poor form.
This is total
to the
Tamagotchi
parents.
Thing.
Yeah, but it's amazing, right? It works. So they sell this thing as a package to shopping malls.
Yeah.
And it goes under the escalator where nothing usually lives. And it's just a way to bring people back. Simple idea, but if you go through their website and their YouTube clips, you see they've sold these things to Lego, they sold these things to the Brazil Aquarium now has one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's
odd that
it's the sort of the Rio Aquarium. So I really like the fact that this is like technology in a box. If, mm-hmm. You know, you go to Cineplex and they've got all these interactive games, you know, stand in front of the screen and catch the popcorn as that falls. And
well, see, this is the thing, right? The
Cineplex spends tens of millions of dollars to build this stuff, mm-hmm. and WhyDreams has it in a box.
Wow.
So when they came to Canada to mm-hmm. list, because the Brazilian economy is ass, you know, you can work for Adidas and Coca-Cola and Unilever in Brazil, and the amount of money that you're going to make there is about equivalent to what you would make selling, you know, tzatziki in a food truck down by Canada Place. So they decided they wanted to come to the U.S. and Canada, and they wanted to engage with those same clients, but in a place where instead of making $150,000 for an exhibit, you'd be dealing with $15 million.
Right.
Right? So it took a while because they had to translate all the documents from Brazil, from Portuguese. They had to... You've got currency issues. You've got the ailing Brazilian economy.
Mm-hmm.
You had a couple of shells that didn't work out. So eventually they landed.
Yep.
And then no one bought and no one sold because no one knew what the hell this Brazilian company was doing here.
Right.
So it sat at 50 cents for a while. And then eventually when the free trading stock came out and everyone started selling, and down it went to 20 cents. Which is great because that's where Bugalugs here decided to go and employ some cash and get it nice and cheap.
Good for you.
The last couple of weeks has gone back to 40 cents.
Well, see, there you go.
Also convenient for the people who were getting in on the private placement that was just announced.
That's what I understand.
That sudden increase wasn't factored into the private placement that they had reserved.
Oh. Steal of a deal now.
So, yeah, so they just in the last 8 seconds went through 600 grand of private placement at 20 cents when the actual market price is 40.
Right. Which probably pissed a few people off, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so, you know, the bag holders, as they'd be disparagingly yes. called.
I'm a little surprised that that it didn't take off. I mean, given the, you know, augmented reality, I mean, Pokemon Go is still extremely popular.
Yeah, so I wrote a piece about that when Pokemon Go came out and everyone was trying to figure out what do we invest in order to take advantage of this massive market.
Mm-hmm.
And people were erroneously investing in Nintendo, which doesn't actually own it.
Right.
But they invested to the tune of $10 billion in about 24 hours. So I wrote a piece and was like, look, these guys at WhyDreams, they've got the technology to do your Pokemon Go games
mm-hmm.
for other licenses. They can pop it out of a bag. It's not even something that they need to stretch. In fact, they'd proposed a game similar to Pokemon to another company in Brazil like a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
So while everyone's running around saying, oh, our game divisions are going to have to get into augmented reality now, and they're starting from scratch. These guys are already there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a massive market that they can potentially get into. And recently, in the last couple of weeks, they've also put out news releases saying that they're starting to do military simulations.
Yeah, I have that.
That's where the cash is going to be, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. You sell one of those to the U.S. Army, and absolutely. Maintenance fees Woo! Will keep you going for a long time.
Loving that.
And cheese, yeah.
They did announce they have some event in New York. The details are very slim, but there was an event that they licensed out some technology to. They've got they put together a virtual reality tour of the Amazon rainforest.
Nice.
So they're actively moving. They weren't actively moving for the first 12 months. Like the stock was let go, basically.
Okay.
They're now at a place where the news is starting to come. People are starting to buy. You had this ultra cheap PP, which is going to raise them a bunch of money in warrants because the warrants are already in the money.
Yeah.
And you know, so now they've got cash going forward. I think this is a bonanza deal, and I could see it conceivably one or two big clients popping in there,
right,
and completely eclipsing the last 10 years of revenues in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got a full troop of technology guys, of engineers, of software guys, coders, being paid Brazilian wages instead of downtown gas town wages.
Yep.
So, you know, you're probably looking at about 10 people employed there per one here.
Mm-hmm.
But they've also got the financial wherewithal that comes with being listed in Canada, where you have to get audited financials.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think this is one of those stories that no one really knows about yet. And if you look at the comparables in the space, there's companies out of the U.S. that do similar sort of things.
Right.
Not nearly as much
mm-hmm.
or with the same sort of clients, but their valuations, you stick a zero on what WhyDreams is valued at and you're closer to what they are.
Yep.
So once the story starts getting out, I imagine that there's going to be a real pop on this thing. Then again, I've been saying that for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes the news flows slowly from Brazil. So that's my pitch on WhyDreams.
Okay.
Over to you guys as to questions as to or opinions as to what you think of that situation.
I like what WhyDreams is doing. What little I know about them, you know a lot more about them than I do. Right? They've just sort of been the periphery of my vision. You're the one that's done all the research. The idea of what they're getting into is really the future of what we're doing as far as interactivity is concerned.
Yeah.
The cookie cutter offering in entertainment is no longer possible.
No.
You have to make everything personal, and the only way to do that is to create an interactive art form.
I'm still playing Pokemon Go.
Well, see, there you go.
I'm not even embarrassed to say it.
Well, and you haven't fallen off a cliff yet?
I'm kind of embarrassed to say it. I don't tell, you know, potential dates. Oh, yeah, yeah, my hobby is Pokemon Go.
Exactly. It's kind of like telling me you have a Tamagotchi.
But you know what? It got me out to the park with my kids. We were racking up 30 Ks in a weekend. You know,
excellent,
it was like,
yeah.
So, you know, a board game's not going to do that. Video game's not going to do that. But truly taking advantage of augmented reality means changing things in the meat space. You know, it means...
Yeah.
We were talking about earlier about what happens when dating apps start getting into augmented reality and you walk down the street and see someone's Plenty of Fish profile floating above their head with a Yelp rating of how good a date they are. You know?
I was just thinking that very thing, too, about, you know, having a hookup app that uses that precise technology.
Imagine Tinder if you didn't have to swipe. You just, like, put on your sunglasses... And you saw someone walking down the street with a halo over their head. And like, okay.
You just go, hey.
That might have some personal security implications, but for now we can do that.
For sure.
I think we're headed to a world where privacy is just a non-issue. We're not going to have it. It's
privacy will be for people who are like, you know, shut-ins.
Yeah,
really.
Basically.
Well, and it already really is.
There's always going to be metadata out there floating around
about
anybody that's involved in pretty much anything in society. So.
Yeah.
But what augmented reality provides, as you said before, is that signpost above your head.
Mm-hmm.
It introduces it into daily life, into real life. And I think Wydreams is doing a really good job of it. However, my question is,
yes.
Right now they're doing expositions, they're doing displays, they're doing demonstrations and stuff. And they've just started to do the military simulations.
Right.
That is good, but the display stuff I can see becoming stagnant. Like, what are they planning to do with all this?
So, what they really need is a local sales force to say, here is the book of technology whiz that we have, and pick and choose what you want, and we'll have someone install it next week.
Okay.
That's the advantage of having the existing tech, right? Not having to develop everything from scratch.
But right now, they're going to have to, what, license somebody in the States to come install it for you while they're operating?
So, they're actively talking to major sports organizations to try and, I think they had a test... This is a very sort of third person, but I think they had a test with the Canucks whereby they put a camera, a 360-degree camera in a seat so that somebody who's looking to buy a box seat could actually go and
see
what they're going to see.
Okay.
You know, who's sitting around
them. All right, that's useful.
Or if you're out, you know, getting a beer, that you can flip on your phone and you can continue watching the game, you know? Like, there's all sorts of potential like that. The Canucks are also building a big residential development. There's talk about maybe putting something on the side of the building. It's, you know... And as soon as you get one of these organizations to say, yeah, we'll do this thing, as soon as you see on the national hockey broadcast, you know, Rogers Arena is lit up like a Christmas tree with interactive greatness, you got to think that everyone's going to go out and get one of these things, especially if they're at Brazilian prices rather than North American prices, you know.
I don't think you're going to get that at Canucks game.
Well, yeah. So... They've taken on one of the news releases recently was they took on a law firm that specializes in merchandising deals with Major League Baseball.
Okay.
I know they're talking to hockey teams up here. It's just going to be one of those things where when the rubber hits the road, I expect that there'll be lots of deals coming in quick time. The question is, can they service those deals from Brazil quickly?
That's
Do they have enough
asking.
Local people?
Yep.
Is the focus local and not, you know, Brazil focus at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even have offices.
They've got offices up here, but, you know, the guts of their organization is in Brazil. So if there's 15 projects on the go in Brazil, is anyone flying up to Vancouver to say, let's sell it to
a
hotel? But, you know, it's also there's licensing potential there. What's the, you know, the potential for them to say to other companies, hey, you've got this big project that you're going to make $100 million on, we'll give you the tech for it for 10.
This podcast is sponsored by Invictus MD Strategies, the first Canadian marijuana-related company to pay a dividend to investors. With a business concept that invests in, streamlines, and grows cannabis service companies, Invictus has shown extraordinary growth and a solid return on investment. For more, see ticker symbol IMH.C.
My question is, since it's still building up, is it... worthy takeover target for a company that sees what it's doing. And I mean, like, maybe EA might be interested in this because of all the augmented reality.
So you're looking at like a $23 million market cap right now.
Yeah.
So let's assume that they bid for a job that's worth $10
million. Mm-hmm. What's
half their? That's half their market cap,
yeah.
You know, in one hit for something that may not have a lot of built-in expenses.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big deal. You know, that's a pretty great potential for a large spike in value.
Right.
It's also a potential deal for someone who's spending that $10 million to say, look, why don't we spend another $10 million? We'll just take the whole thing over.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that would be a low price for this kind of.
I know Cineplex has got their own little group of guys that do this stuff.
But
just
would it
in-house?
Be smart for them right now?
And they spent tens of millions of dollars developing this department.
Oh, exactly. But would they be smart right now and letting the cat, letting the horse go? Like, go ahead, license it out.
Take my stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just would they be not better at this point because of where they're sitting to actually establish a customer base? And a business.
It's tough to say. Like, there's not enough information coming out of the company to know accurately where they're putting their time.
Right.
If it's me and Pokemon Go comes out and there's billions of dollars being thrown around and every video game company is saying we've got to do our own version of this,
mm-hmm.
I'd be out there waving flags saying, we're the guys. Like, come to us.
Yeah.
Don't go to Niantic and give away half the deal.
Right.
Come to us, pay a fee. We've got the technology licensed. We'll have it implemented in 6 months. They weren't doing that. You know?
Right.
They weren't associating that particular wave with an opportunity for themselves. Maybe they weren't ready yet, maybe mm-hmm. they had other things. But to take advantage of a potential, you know, $10, $15, $100 million opportunity, you got to be ready to go. And where Y-Dreams comes a little unstuck, at least in terms of what the investor sees right now, is are they ready to go? Are they going to take that big opportunity that catapults them from a $20 million company to a $100 million company? Or are they going to get lots of little deals that keep the lights on and you know, keep things flowing as they are?
Mm-hmm.
If you bought into it 2 weeks ago, you've made 100% on your money already.
Yeah.
So if you bought into it when it first came out, you're still
25%
you're okay, down.
But then you're holding the bag now and you want to wait. You want to know that something's going to come down the road.
Well, you
right?
want to see news coming because then other investors come in and then you can start playing the other investors.
Yeah.
And that's been the real struggle here is that there's been no volume for a long time until it got down to the 20 cent range and
mm-hmm.
it became a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly guys jumped all over it. So now that it's at 40, does it keep going to 60 or does it sit there for a little while? Do people start selling it and taking out that 20 cent PP?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's lots of questions. But I think if these guys just went and liquidated and sold all the technology in their book, they'd get way more than their market cap.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
If they just licensed everything, it's a boatload of stuff.
We got IP, we've got services they can offer, and products, correct?
And a client base that's you know, admittedly Brazilian clients.
Yeah.
The U.S. Army is going to be
That'll be a big hit.
Yeah.
If that works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the moment, you know, in Brazil, they do business with Coca-Cola. They do business with Fiat. They do business with all the banks, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
so they may not do it internationally, but still they have the inlet.
Can they move that into the U.S.
Right.
and do business with the U.S. Coca-Cola, which would drop
that
$10 million bucks as a rounding error on
everything.
Promotion, right?
Yeah.
That would change everything.
So there's a lot of what-ifs, but, you know, most of the companies that we deal with...
Who do they have in charge? Do they have anybody that's got connections up here?
Yeah, they've got guys up here, but I see that as being an evolving thing as well. There's
going
to be people brought in, people brought out. I don't think that the board of directors is particularly settled.
Okay.
But there's lots of room. There's lots of room for them to bring people in and to not have to push people aside.
Okay.
You know, I think it's one of those things where we see companies every day doing what we do, where they have an idea and then they go to market with a promise that they're going to capitalize on that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it happens and maybe it doesn't. These guys actually have tech.
Yes, they got something.
If you were going to develop all the tech that they have, you'd be spending 30, 40, 50 million bucks up here
mm-hmm.
to get it done. Or you'd be spending 5 million bucks in India to get it done half-assedly.
Right.
These guys, the Brazilian economy is terrible, but the
mm-hmm.
workforce is not.
No.
They know what they're doing. If you go on YouTube and look at their demo reels,
amazing things.
It's not just software, but it's hardware. Like when you're building robots that walk up to people and say, I'll take you to see Bob. That's next level stuff. That's not like we go and buy some robots off the shelf. It's we're building our own robots.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real company there. It's just a question of how long it's going to take people to figure out what that company is and if they're going to get it to the next level.
And right. also the company figuring out what it wants to do.
I think that's going right. to be a big factor at this point, because right now it seems like a tremendous amount of possibilities and potential.
Yeah.
But I think they really do have to nut up and focus on something and get it going.
So the question is, if you had $500 sitting in the bank, 500 yeah. lazy, and I know you don't because you're writers and I'm not paying you anywhere near what I should. If you had 500 lazy yeah. and Y-Dreams is sitting in front of you, be like, hey, 40 cents, what's up? Do you commit the full five, part of your five, or nothing?
And 250 wait. With a wait.
And I would go a little stronger than that, because it seems like there's so much potential here. I would go the whole 500.
The whole fiver.
What else is there to... What do you have to lose with a company that...
Well, $500.
Well, other, but in terms... Well, exactly. It's focus. I mean, 500 is nothing in the grand scheme of things. And this could be... This could explode. I mean, if they're making their own robots, man, I mean, that's more than a wing and a prayer that yeah. you get from most companies.
It's right. true. If they came out and they just said, we're building a robot company and it's going to process cannabis plants,
sure.
it would be a $500 million valuation,
but
right?
That's just a part of all of the services that they offer
right.
and yep. the potential that's there. So, yeah, I would go whole hog on this.
I want to see them move that robot into something that looks a little bit more feminine. And then well, I think you're in a real growth industry. Well, Playboy's got to find something to do business with.
Well,
so,
you never know.
Why Dreams of Sex Robots? Oh, why not?
I think that is eventual, but I honestly don't think that's something that's going to be happening in the next 10 years.
Yeah, I can't see sex robots getting into the investor deck anytime soon. Yeah. But
it's going to be a while.
But, you know, fish that make you go to the mall, well...
No, these are interesting things, and I think this is something
malls
that corporations are looking for the hook to bring people back. And these are the interesting things, and it's... It's so horrible to hook parents in like
it's
that.
It's disgusting.
But it's a beautiful idea.
Corporately, it's poetic. If psychologically, it's abuse.
Kind of, yeah.
But I respect it.
Yeah.
Because I've been a parent, and I know exactly how many such scams are out there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And this is at least one that you can see coming.
Yeah. And it's relatively innocuous.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It could be
worse. But extremely profitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a shop, if you're Kingsgate Mall, let's say, for those listening outside of Vancouver, Kingsgate is effectively the lowest rent shopping mall
absolutely.
In Vancouver.
Totally.
It's like the shopping mall where only dollar stores should exist, you know?
Exactly.
But if you threw one of these in there, I guarantee you parents are bringing their kids to Kingsgate Mall every
absolutely.
Week. And, you know, and all it is a big TV screen with a computer on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a smart computer. It's doing things that encourage people to come back. And in terms of shopping malls, that's the only business you have, is finding ways to get people to come
absolutely.
Back.
Well, absolutely. You've got to increase that foot traffic so you can get people into your
you've
stores.
You've only got Santa Claus for so often.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. So I'm also going to say that I would put the full five... I'm going to say 400.
Oh,
I'd probably keep 100 to take someone out for dinner. But
okay, nice.
there are still some questions for me. And at least I like that there's been some activity over the last few weeks. And that activity has doubled the share price.
Absolutely. But there's got to be action in the next 6 months.
Presumably they're raising money for something. So I imagine that there'll be some serious deals coming. But I want to see some actual U.S. clients.
That's the action I'm looking for.
And I would have to... walk back my statement a little bit by saying, yes, I would do the whole 500, but then 6 months down the road, I would have to see how it's doing then, and I might have to pull back a little bit if nothing happens. But
I think there's upside
that
there.
Yeah.
There's like, so much upside here.
They're doing business, so at least even with just
you're
the
right,
Brazilian
it's not
side, they're keeping the lights on. There's no, like, you know, we have to raise $2 million to stay in business. The upside is extreme. Like, I don't even know where the upside could be. It feels like if you came back in a year and said they'd done $100 million worth of revenue, it wouldn't be a shock. If you came back and said they did $2 million, it wouldn't be a shock.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know with these things because you're always one project away.
Yeah.
A company in this particular sphere, if they play it right, could actually turn into a billion-dollar entity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you only need one thing that people go ooh-ah at that goes a bit viral.
But, I mean, that's, of course, serendipity. We've got to wait for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want them to get to a point where you can play Farmville on the side of the Barrage Center building.
I have studiously avoided Farmville.
Farmville's around call. Candy Crush, let's say
okay.
that.
Or Minecraft.
Words with
Minecraft
friends.
Minecraft would be fun.
Minecraft on the Barrage Center?
Yeah.
The
that would be fun.
Bentall Center? That would make sense. All right, guys. Well, this has been the Equity Guru Shooting the Shit podcast.
Absolutely.
Episode 1. We... We normally talk to the CEOs of interesting deals, but we thought we'd get the roundtable going and listen to the air conditioner some. Mm-hmm. So thanks for listening. The symbol is YD.V if you're interested in buying some Y-Dreams. We are not clients of the company. I've just been watching it for a long time and I like it. And personally, if you buy stock, I will make money. So get in there. Get a bunch.
All right, then.
All right, bye.
Bye. Cheers.
You've been listening to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.